Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the B segment, the guest segment. And we have a wonderful guest who's I'm interested in talking to. Amy Riola is the author of the Mediterranean Diabetes Cookbook, the second edition, A Flavorful, Heart-Healthy Approach to Cooking. Obviously, it's the second edition, so it did well in the first edition. She's also an expert on olive oil and has a great history being from Italy, or at least her ancestors were. So let's talk to Amy. Amy, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Roizen. It's a pleasure.
Now, tell me how you got into olive oil and what caused you to be so interested in it.
Sure. Well, I've always loved olive oil as an ingredient. You know, probably they always say that olive oil is the crowning glory of the Italian table. And so it's hard not to love it and appreciate it. But I started becoming really more interested when I was writing my books about the Mediterranean diet, Mediterranean lifestyle, because, as you know, so many times they're telling us that we should be eating olive oil and all of the great things that extra virgin olive oil can do for us. But I realized as a cook, you know, it's hard to tell what's authentic extra virgin, what's a really good product, what's an honest product, and what is not. So I figured, you know, if we're putting forth all of these claims of how olive oil can help us, we have to be able to also put forth ways in which consumers can know what is a good olive oil and how to be able to choose it. And so that kind of planted the first seed in my brain. And then I had the fortune of being invited to Italy on several occasions as a guest of the Italian Trade Agency, specifically to attend olive oil conferences. I also lead culinary tours in other places of the Mediterranean, and olive oil was always a big focus of those. So it's one of those great topics where the more you learn, the more you realize that you have to learn, and the more passionate you become and kind of dig in and do the research. And they're discovering wonderful new things all the time. Just recently, last month, I had the opportunity to collaborate with the North American Olive Oil Association in New York for the Olive Oil Conference. And it's a fantastic topic because whether you're talking about flavor and the different ways that you can pair foods with different types of olive oil to achieve a different flavor profile, or you're talking about health benefits, you can talk about all of those topics with an olive oil. So it's definitely my favorite ingredient.
And when we talk about getting olive oil and buying olive oil, for the amateur, what's the difference between extra virgin and cold-pressed and hot-pressed or regular old olive oil? What makes extra virgin, and why is it so much better?
Oh, that's a great question, and, you know, one that people don't realize. Basically, the virginity of an olive oil has to do with the acidity rate. So if something has a 0.8% acidity or less, then it would be considered an extra virgin olive oil. If it has from about 0.8 to 1.2, then it would be considered virgin. Extra virgin is much, the lower acidity olive oil is much higher quality. You always want to look for the lowest acidity possible when buying an olive oil. That's just where the quality lies. So even though industry standard is 0.8 or below for extra virgin, a lot of people, you know, in the Mediterranean and places that grow olives and things like that really try to hover way below the 0.5 mark for olive oil, just in terms of flavor and freshness, but also health benefits.
And when you say health benefits, what's in the extra virgin that gives it that extra health benefit? It can't be just acid.
No, of course not, because it's low acidic. So extra virgin olive oil is a high antioxidant food. So for the listeners who don't know, the oxidation refers to the manner in which cells age. So the cells in people following olive oil-rich diets have been proven to be stronger and more resilient to the oxidation, which causes the cells to age more slowly. So there are many antioxidants that can be found in olive oil. There's also vitamin E, carotenoids, and phenols, such as hydroxytyrosol, which is one of the main anti-inflammatories in the olive oil. So anybody trying to follow an anti-inflammatory diet, the monounsaturated fats in olive oil can help to prevent heart disease, lower cholesterol, improve rheumatoid arthritis, reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's, diabetes, and also different types of cancer. And the studies, you know, that they've done on olive oil are really phenomenal because olive oil is one of those ingredients that it's easy to test. You know, it comes in a bottle and it can be found everywhere. people all over the Mediterranean, whether it's France to Israel or Morocco to Egypt, everybody's using olive oil. So a lot of our Mediterranean diet studies, even our Mediterranean lifestyle studies, are based on olive oil. They found that it can even prevent memory loss in the elderly. It might lead to kind of age-related, anything that could lead to age-related cognitive decline, memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's. So there are a lot of wonderful benefits, health benefits for the olive oil. And also something that doesn't get talked about as much as it should is, you know, if you put olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, on a healthful food to begin with, such as, you know, some type of green, for example, spinach or broccoli, you not only get the health benefits of the broccoli or the spinach and the olive oil, but you also get an additional third benefit of that's created from the two of them being together, which is really nice for people to know about.
And when you're buying the olive oil, one of the things I heard you talk about was the type of container it's in and how to really tell whether it's extra virgin or not by just putting it in your refrigerator.
The best thing really is for a container, you're looking usually for a dark container because you want to keep the olive oil away from a light and away from, you know, in a cool container. That also now, since I've you know, recently talked about the refrigerator test, actually the North American Olive Oil Association has come out with great tips for people, and they actually have a label. So most of what's on sale in the United States, you could look for that little North American Olive Oil Association stamp, and that's a quality seal created right here within the United States that will say that particular olive oil is good quality. Now, there is not currently in the United States yet one specifically denoted for whether it's extra virgin or not. So this is where a lot of the, you know, imperfections in the business can kind of slip by, because in the United States, we do not regulate that yet, but they are working on it. And California, as a state, does regulate it. So there's the California Association of Olive Oil that does have a stamp. And if you have that stamp, then you can rest assured that it's an olive oil which is actually extra virgin, as well as it has, you know, the quality seal of approval from California. Otherwise, I would tell people to look for the DOP seal from Italy or the PDO from Spain or Greece if they weren't sure about an olive oil, especially if it's coming from a big producer. But there are so many small, you know, producers that are out there that are making wonderful products, and they're easily, you know, able to trace online, and they list all of their numbers in terms of acidity rates and polyphenols and all those kinds of things. So it doesn't have to have that stamp on it just to make sure that it's quality, but it's an easier way for Americans to tell from the big producers when they go to the supermarket, you know, what's in that package.
What's the difference? I saw some extra virgin olive oil in a metal can. Is that as good as a brown glass or not?
Sure, yes. Yeah. So, and it's actually a trend. You know, we kind of have the stereotype in our heads of the olden days when they put these or that big tin out and that kind of thing. But actually, a lot of the more trendy, you know, newer producers are actually putting things out in metal cans too. So it runs the gamut from old school to brand new, but it can be very good quality. And there's nothing wrong with having it necessarily in a metal can. It will keep it protected and you know, things like that. That's probably the less of concerns that people should be looking for when they buy the olive oil. It's also, it can be a little bit more cost effective for producers from overseas. So a lot of the smaller people will sell in the tin cans because they can ship them easier, they can send them easier than the glass bottles. And I always tell people to look for the most recent harvest. So, you know, if possible, for example, we're in 2019 now, depending upon where you are in the Mediterranean, most olive harvests usually take place between the end of September and November. So within that, you know, few month period, if you can get, you know, the last year's olive oil, so if we could be getting a 2018 olive oil right now, that would be the best thing. Olive oil is the exact opposite of wine. So as you think about wine, where you really want to age it and let it get older, it's the opposite with olive oil. You want to consume it as quickly as possible, and you want to try to get the last year's harvest. And the most amount of nutrients, when we're using it for health benefits strictly, would be within the first 3 months of the harvest. So say, you know, we got that, you came to Italy with me, and we got that olive oil, you know, fresh from the producer in November of 2018. And then if we would have it by February, that was when our body was going to extract the most nutrients from it, the most polyphenols and antioxidants. Still, you know, for the rest of the year, it would still be great. It would still have, you know, its wonderful benefits and things, but it's not quite as potent as within those first 3 months.
So Now, since olives aren't harvested year-round, at least in North America, I don't believe, how do you, if you want it in those first 3 months, what do you do? Or do they, is there a way of harvesting the olives in a way that allows them to be, to make the olive oil fresh every 3 months?
No, it's actually, you have to consume it there within the first 3 months or wherever you have it, and then, you know, continue with the rest of the harvest as you go. It's just that's kind of a question that I get a lot is, you know, when is it most beneficial? That time first, and then within the remainder of the year second. And then after the first year, the polyphenol rate tends to go down by about a third. So, you know, if it's a couple years old, then it might still be good. It wouldn't necessarily be rancid, but the polyphenol rate would definitely decrease by about 30%, even if it's left in a cool place, unopened, something like that.
Gotcha. Now, let's talk about the Mediterranean diet for diabetes in general.
Sure.
How did you come up with the idea of doing this for diabetes? And is there a special benefit of olive oil for the diabetic or for the Mediterranean diet for the diabetic?
Sure, those are great points, and yes to all of them. I got started because, again, it dates back to my family history and my mom and things like that. And, you know, that's the way we ate and wanting to make it work for everybody. And then when I went to Italy and, again, saw our relatives and how much more healthy they were over there than the people in the family on this side of the pond, even though we had the same genes and, you know, looked the same way and things like that, I really became committed to the lifestyle and in addition to the food and said, I really want to show people what can be done and the tricks and the secrets and the kind of lifestyle habits that I'm seeing here, how can we incorporate them in the United States? So that gave me the first idea for the probably the base of the book without ever even knowing that I would one day publish it. And I fast forward probably about 20 years and I was sitting at a table not knowing the people I was sitting with were the acquisition editors for the American Diabetes Association. And so the conversation turned to, you know, diabetes, and I was telling them a little about my cooking style, and they said, well, you know, what do you recommend people with diabetes eat, or what is your philosophy? And I said, well, I think we should pretty much all be eating the way shepherds eat in Spain or the way fishermen eat in Italy. You know, those are good diets that have served people for centuries and have a lot of great benefits. And they said, okay, we'd like a proposal. And so that led to the first edition of this book. And since then, it was a bestseller with them. It also got voted the best diabetes cookbook ever by a diabetes advocacy group, and it won the Nautilus Award. So I went on to do other books with them as well, and then I was asked to do this book, which I'm really proud of. Olive oil specifically, there are a lot of studies based on them. So it's shown like the diets rich in olive oil are known to reduce and protect against numerous diseases and health conditions. The body's overall ease in digestion and absorption of olive oil, as well as the nutrients in the olive oil, make it both ideal for cooking and for a traditional medicinal. So in the Mediterranean diet, you know, goes right along with both of those. It was recently rated this last year, according to U.S. News and World Report, the best overall diet because from one of the main reasons is it's easy to follow. You know, there are, you know, things that people have to cut out. There are no big lifestyle changes in the sense that, you know, you have to change your philosophy or, you know, really do anything. You can enjoy all types of food, but it's just that you're looking and enjoying the things that are most nutritious, the most is the main part of all meals. And then the other little things can be had much more sparingly. So another great aspect about the Mediterranean diet is the fact that it encompasses so many different cultures, so many different culinary cultures. So whether people want to, you know, enjoy a meal that's Israeli-inspired or Provençal or Italian or Greek, you can do that within the Mediterranean. So it's very inclusive and it's very flavorful and it gives a lot of flexibility. In terms of diabetes, it also helps because so many of the plant-based foods that are at the base of the Mediterranean diet and that we promote people eating the most of are really great for people with diabetes. They happen to have specific nutrients, you know, like magnesium and different things, which people with diabetes might tend to struggle with. A lot of seafood, which is also great, a healthy type of fat, a lot of anti-inflammatory ingredients and different types of nutrition, nutrients like the inulin that's in yogurt, which helps to balance out, you know, blood sugar levels, or basil and cilantro and lots of fresh herbs, spices and things. So It's wonderfully flavorful, but it's also great for people, you know, with diabetes. And has traditionally, the people who have followed that diet have not had a big problem with diabetes.
But these people that you've written it for already have diabetes. How does it work at reversing that? Do we have any data on Mediterranean diet or diet styles and reversing type 2 diabetes?
Yes, you know, that's a great point. There are studies on reversing, and there are even many more studies on preventing. So a lot of the studies that I've mentioned, I didn't mention so many studies in this new book. A lot of my studies are in my fifth book, which is called The Ultimate Mediterranean Diet Cookbook. And there are especially ones coming out of Spain and different countries in the Mediterranean where the doctors would study people who are at the risk of getting hypertension, heart disease, things like that, and put them on a Mediterranean diet. And some of the results were so dramatic. They would usually put them on a Mediterranean diet versus a low-calorie diet. And within a few first few weeks of the studies, a lot of the time they would end the study because they would declare it inhumane to keep the people on the other diets when they could see how great they were doing on the Mediterranean diet.
I want to thank you, Amy. The person we've been talking to is the author of the Mediterranean Diabetes Cookbook, second edition, A Flavorful, Heart-Healthy Approach to Cooking from the American Diabetes Association, out in May of this year. Her name is Amy Riolo, AmyRiolo.com is her website, the Mediterranean Diabetes Cookbook. And as you can hear, there was a lot of expertise about extra virgin olive oil and implications from the North American Olive Oil Association, which certifies the groups. And she told you about the fact that there is a California labeling for this, which is a quality seal, if you will. She said, choose an olive oil that's packaged in a dark bottle. It should have a high polyphenol content, and there are different types of olive oils, so make sure you're getting extra virgin. I like those from Greece, Turkey, France, Spain, and California. You may like them from other places. Try a variety. They do have different smells a little bit and different textures and tastes. So find one you like with each thing. I have ones that I like on vegetables and ones that I like with fish and ones that I like with 100% whole wheat bread. So you may find ones you like differently. I have yet to find great extra virgin olive oils to cook my egg white veggie omelet in, although the veggies are cooked in extra virgin olive oil. I don't know how to cook the eggs that way without giving them too much olive oil flavor. In any case, we've been talking with a great guest. I hope you enjoy extra virgin olive oil as much as I do. Amy, thank you very much for coming on. Again, it's Amy Riolo, AmyRiolo.com is her website, the Mediterranean Diabetes Cookbook. It's got a lot of great recipes, even if you aren't diabetic. Thanks again, Amy.
Thank you, Dr. Roizen. It's been a pleasure.
Mine and Randall, thank you for engineering, and especially you for downloading us and listening. This is 951B of our podcast. Thanks a lot. And we'll be back next week. The B's are always the great guests. The A's are, of course, the news of the week and the latest news for you. I want to remind you that 949B was a wonderful guest about autonomous cars and how they will affect us. 950 was Travis Ryder talking about In Pain. He's a bioethicist whose own personal struggles with opioids were triggered by a motor vehicle accident and the use of higher dose opioids to control his acute pain. One of the great stories this week, 951, is the story about when elders leave the hospital. Falls are a big reason they're returning. We talked in the A segment about why that's happening and what you can do to prevent it if a relative of yours is involved in that. And we also talked about a side effect of marijuana and CBD oil that you'll want to know and have your doctor monitor for to make sure you don't develop it. Thanks again. And I want to also, in the 949A segment, I want to bring out one more story. This was a story about time-restricted eating. That is, eating only 8 hours a day and fasting for 16 hours, that it quickly reversed aging biomarkers, and it changed gene function of key genes in your immune system and key genes that we think of in relating to aging and insulin control as well as brain functioning. So if you do nothing, go back and listen to 949A and 949B because it's a really good doubleheader on autonomous cars on the B. And the A segment is, of course, those great news stories. Thanks again for tuning in. And please tell us if you want us to do something differently. You can always write me at ageprooflife, ageprooflife@gmail.com, wenwei.com. Thanks again.